On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the government has responded positively to a request from nurses for an extra 10 days holidays, according to the INMO. Public health officials say pregnant women should continue to maintain safe practices to avoid contracting COVID-19, but stress there's no need for them to change their behaviour. It follows preliminary reports of 4 stillbirths that may be related to COVID-19. COVID vaccines have been administered to the over 70s on Tory Island. The vaccines expected to be administered over the coming weeks in line with the vaccination programme there. Later on, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin this evening with confirmation of a slight drop in the number of people on the live register in Donegal. Latest figures from the Central Statistics Office show there were 8,968 people on the register in Donegal at the end of February, down 5.2% on the same period last year. The figure doesn't include the 16,050 people in the county who are in receipt of the pandemic unemployment payment. With more, here's Eamon Torsney.
Ballybuffet was the only local office to register an increase, with 1,389 signing on at the end of February, up 8.6%. There were 2,627 people on the register in Letterkenny, down 6.8%, 1,602 in Inishowen, down 2.6%. There were 853 people signing on in Dunglow, down 6.8%. 847 in Ballyshannon, down 10.3%, and 635 in Donegal Town, down 4.6%. Dunfanaghy, with 562 people on the register, had the sharpest fall at 16.8%, while there were 453 people signing on in Killybegs, down 12.7%. When the live register and PUP figures are added together, the cumulative total in Donegal is 25,018.
The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says the government has responded positively to a request from nurses for an extra 10 days holidays. A claim was submitted last November for the additional days, and a meeting was held yesterday with employers on the issue. The extra days are being requested in recognition of the service from nurses and midwives on the frontline during the pandemic. General Secretary of the INMO, Phil Nihay, is welcoming the positive response to the claim.
The employers met us yesterday. They are considering it. We understand from government that there is a positive disposition to it. We don't actually think we should have had to lodge a claim, or that it should have taken this long to get even a positive recognition.
Public health officials say pregnant women should continue to maintain safe practices to avoid contracting COVID-19, but stress there's no need for them to change their behaviour. It follows 4 preliminary reports of stillbirths that may be related to COVID-19. COVID placentitis is a rare condition where the placenta is infected with the virus and stops working properly. The head of the HSE's Women and Infants Health Programme, Professor Peter McKenna, says there are no plans to begin screening women for COVID at maternity appointments.
The difficulty is from moving from the particular, which has affected 4 women, to the very general. I would be more comfortable, as I think my colleagues would be, in screening pregnant women for COVID if the information that we have got on these 4 cases was replicated on a worldwide basis.
COVID vaccines have been administered to the over 70s on Tory Island. William Duggan and Mary Diver, both aged 88, were the first and oldest islanders to receive the first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine yesterday. It's expected that vaccines will be administered to the remaining island residents in the coming weeks, in line with the national vaccination programme. JJ McGowan is Assistant Chief Ambulance Officer Operations Northwest with the HSE. Speaking on the island yesterday, he said it's hoped the vaccine can be rolled out on a larger scale on the island shortly.
Today we're concentrating on the over 70s and the people with pre-lying conditions. It's a great atmosphere around the island today when the vaccine arrived. And it's a great team approach to delivering this vaccine, brought together by collaboration between the GPs, the public health nurse, public health, and the National Ambulance Service. We're doing it as a two-pronged approach today. We're vaccinating, but we're also doing a scoping exercise for the delivery of the vaccine the next day, which may be done on a larger scale. So it's great to come out here and see the facilities and hopefully with that view to the delivery of the vaccine on a larger scale the next time we're here.
The Foreign Affairs Minister has urged people not to turn up to an anti-lockdown protest in Cork tomorrow. Simon Coveney says he understands that people are stressed by restrictions, but he says mass public gatherings are counterproductive. Meanwhile, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties says tomorrow's protest shouldn't go ahead, but clear guidance on how protests should be facilitated under Level 5 restrictions should, they say, be provided by government. We'll hear a retired consultant orthopaedic surgeon says anti-COVID restriction protests are super spreader events. Peter O'Rourke says the violent scenes witnessed in Dublin last weekend are unacceptable. Speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, Mr. O'Rourke said he believes there are other platforms available within which people can express their views.
Unfortunately, in COVID situation, it's probably not sensible to have large gatherings of people. So they're putting themselves and other people at risk. So that of itself is unfortunate. And this particular march turned violent, which is totally unacceptable. And unfortunately, when you do have a big march like that and there are people with very strong views, that will attract an element which will be there just to cause mischief, and that is what happened. And any future marches of a similar nature will unfortunately in all likelihood go the same way. So despite the best intentions of the people organising, they will turn violent and they will get out of hand. And unfortunately, from a medical side of things, they'll turn into super spreader events. So there are times when civil liberties, people need to accept that they have them but not exercise them. And I think this is one occasion.
Should we not find a way that people can safely go out onto the streets and have the right to express that point of view?
I think they can express that point of view, and social media is the perfect avenue for that, and it's used frequently. But I think having a protest at a time when people are dying and people are getting infected and we're trying to get the economy opening, unfortunately, episodes like we saw last week in the future planned protests are more likely to delay the opening of society and delay getting back to normal, which is what the people who attend these marches actually want. So it's probably going to be counterproductive.
And that was Peter O'Rourke speaking there to Greg Hughes. 166 more COVID-19 cases were confirmed north of the border this afternoon. There have been two additional COVID-related deaths. Hauliers will no longer have to provide a negative COVID-19 test before they board a ferry from Ireland direct to France. French legislation has been amended in light of what were very low positivity rates among commercial vehicle drivers travelling from Ireland. Since the end of January, only 14 positive cases emerged from over 5,700 COVID-19 tests. However, Irish hauliers who travel to France via the UK landbridge route will still have to provide a negative test. The housing minister says it is a priority to get the construction sector back up and running next month, but Dara O'Brien says there are no guarantees that home building will be able to restart. The department had been hoping to open construction from today, but that was stalled following recommendations by NPHET. Minister Dara O'Brien says he's hopeful that by this day next month, that will have changed.
If you look at the trends right now, thankfully, hospitalisation is reducing, numbers in ICUs are reducing, the positivity rate is reduced. But we can only make that decision when we come closer to the date, to be honest with you. So I'm not going to speculate, you know, one way or the other on it, only to say that it is a priority for me and for government.
Almost €500,000 has been sanctioned for 9 aquaculture companies in Donegal under the European Maritime and Fisheries Fund programme. It's part of a nationwide €1.8 million grant scheme under which 28 companies will benefit. The funding will go toward further growth of their businesses and the aquaculture sector as a whole. Charlie McConnellogue is Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine. He says this funding is vital in sustaining employment.
Under the European Maritime Fisheries Fund, I'm glad to be able to allocate €1.8 million to companies right across the country, and it'll support investment of about 4.5 million euro in total in aquaculture companies. We're seeing about 30% of that funding coming to Donegal, and that's going to support 9 companies in Donegal to expand their businesses and their aquaculture businesses. So it's really positive, and I think we've seen tremendous growth in employment in recent years in the aquaculture sector, and there is real potential for it, not only in terms of producing top quality seafood, but also in terms of having sustainable coastal employment, and that's particularly important in our own county. This funding, I think, is really important in terms of supporting the 9 companies in our own county that will benefit from it to develop their businesses and indeed their capacity to employ and provide employment over the coming period.
You mentioned employment there, and these grants are vital because we know this sector particularly has been hit hard in relation to Brexit and COVID-19.
Like with many other sectors, it's been a challenging year for the aquaculture sector as well, and the prices have been impacted as a result of the closure of food service businesses and the food service sector across Europe in particular, but also worldwide and domestically. They have done well to actually try and work their way through the year. I did provide as well a income support scheme at the end of last year to try and address some of the income loss and impact that would have been there over the course of 2020. But certainly as things progress over the course of this year, there's strong hope in the sector that it will be a lot more stable in terms of income and in terms of prices. And the sector certainly is continuing to develop, and we've seen that very much across Donegal.
And that was Minister Charlie McConnell there speaking to Michaela Clark. Most areas of Donegal now have a 14-day COVID-19 incidence rate, which is below the national average. Figures from Monday last show that 5 of the county's 7 electoral areas had a rate of infection which was less than the national average of 201 cases per 100,000 people. The exceptions were Lifford, Stranorer and Donegal. With more, here's Tina O'Dwyer.
Donegal had 113 cases, up 31 on the previous fortnight, giving it an incidence rate of 426.5 per 100,000 people, while Lifford Stranorer had 53 cases and an incidence rate of 205. North Inishowen registered 20 cases, down 9, a rate of 118, while South Inishowen had 19 cases, down 17, giving it a rate of 85. Other areas saw increases in their figures, with Letterkenny's case numbers rising from 23 to 51, giving it an incidence rate of 171. Milford's numbers rose from 8 to 14, giving it a rate of 102, while Glenties saw its total rise from 22 to 31, giving it a rate of 130.
Over €640,000 has been announced by the Arts Council to support projects in Donegal under the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, €200,000 has been allocated to Ballyshannon under the Heritage Council's Historic Towns Initiative. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
It's the third year running that funding has been secured in Donegal. Last year saw a project supported in Remelton, while in 2019 money was allocated to the ongoing regeneration of Church Lane in Letterkenny. This year's Ballyshannon project will see the council work with local property owners on the Mall and Main Street to conserve the historic built environment there. €200,000 has been allocated to the project. Meanwhile, just over €642,000 has been confirmed for 4 arts centres in Donegal, and Green and Theatre receives €258,000. Cardiff na Fidlery receives just over €42,000. Errigal Arts Festival receives almost €191,000, and the Regional Cultural Centre received €150,000. The Arts Council says the funds will help key organisations to stay afloat during the remaining months of the pandemic.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
5:15, we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with athletics. The European Indoor Championships continue this evening in Poland. Donegal's Mark English will run in the 800-metre heats just before 7. Phil Healy's win this morning means it's going to be a busy night for Ireland. With more, here's Will Downing.
It could be an exciting night with Andrew Coskren and Paul Robinson in the final of the men's 1500 metres. Of the 13 starters, Coskren is the 7th fastest. Robinson, who's been a 4th placer, that in Zurich 7 years ago in 2014. He's the 2nd slowest of the field as Martin Lewandowski aims for gold for his 4th consecutive European Indoor Championships. Phil Healy, after being fastest in the opening round of the women's 400 metres in 52 seconds dead, goes in the semi-final at just past 6:30 Irish time. Mark English, twice a European Indoors medalist, Cian McPhillips and John Fitzsimons are in action in the men's 800 metres first round at 6:55, and then rounding off the Irish action at 8:35. Chances for Coskren and Robinson maybe in the men's 1500 metres.
This weekend, Michael Nocton will become the 14th president of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association when he succeeds Marie Hickey. Last March, he won the right to become president-elect, taking nearly two-thirds of the vote. A native of Sligo, Michael has spent most of his adult life in his adopted county of Donegal, where he has become a very successful businessman and local representative. Michael has been active in ladies football for a number of years, led Donegal to an All-Ireland Intermediate title. He served as Ulster GA president while also working on numerous administration roles. He's set to bring a wealth of experience to the role, which he will hold for the next 4 years. In soccer, accidental handball that leads to a teammate scoring a goal will no longer be considered an offence following the latest ruling by football's lawmakers. The change follows a number of recent controversies following the introduction of VAR. It will come into effect from the 1st of July, but competitions can make the change sooner. It will still be against the rules if a player scores after deliberately or accidentally touching the ball with their hand. Finn Harp's opening game in the 2021 League of Ireland Premier Division season has been put back a day. The FEI have moved the tie from Friday evening to Saturday, March 20th, kicking off at Finn Park at 6 o'clock. Derry City's game has also been put back to the Saturday at 6 o'clock, with the Candy Stripes on the road to newly promoted Longford Town. Sligo will also meet Dundalk on the Saturday, while the two Friday evening games on the opening weekend will be Drogheda against Waterford at 5:45 and then champion Shamrock Rovers against St Pat's on the TV at 7:45. Due to TV and streaming commitments, two Premier Division matches will take place on Friday evenings, with three Premier Division matches scheduled for the Saturday evening, with the exception of rounds 8 and 9. So it means that Harps on the Saturday, the opening weekend, will take on Bows at Finn Park. The following weekend, Friday 26th, they are away to Dundalk. Then it's Saturday night games on Series 3 for both Derry and Finn Harps. On Saturday the 3rd of April, Harps go to Drogheda. Derry will take on Waterford. And of course, Derry and Finn Harps will clash in a big Northwest derby on Monday, May the 3rd. Before that, by the way, Saturday the 10th of April, there's another, or Saturday the 17th of April rather, there's another derby game. The Sligo Rovers take on Harps, and that one is scheduled for the Saturday at 6 o'clock at the Showgrounds. But it may change, the kickoff time that is. Well, both Finn Harps and Derry City have away pre-season friendlies to take place this coming weekend. Harps are away at First Division Athlone Town, and Derry City are taking on Bohemians. So what does Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan will be looking for out of the final two pre-season games against Athlone and Cork City?
We'd like to get a win before we go into the season. You know, we haven't won any of the games. We've drawn two and lost two of our four games pre-season. We'd love to get a win under our belt, but probably more importantly, to get through it without any serious injury. That's probably the first and foremost part of it. And, you know, Athlone have improved dramatically. They're a completely new side. They've, the likes of Killian Cantrell that played with us, you know, there's a lot of Premier Division players that maybe they mightn't have been able to attract before, and they obviously mean business. That'll be a great run out for us. And then you have a Cork side that we played, you know, in the last couple of years in the Premier Division, and they'll be huge tests in Dublin the following week. So they're two ideal preparation games for us. So long as we get lads game time, if we could get one win out of it, we'd be delighted. But probably first and foremost that we don't pick up any serious injuries.
Yeah. On to golf. Overnight leader Rory McIlroy gets his second round underway at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Florida in this hour. He goes out from 6 under par. Canadian Corey Connors is the new course leader at Bay Hill in 7 under. Patrick Harrington is 2 under with a handful to play, but the likes of Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell are set to miss the cut. They're 5 and 6 over respectively. Leinster and Ulster have named their teams for tomorrow's Rugby Pro 14 clash in Belfast. Leo Cullen welcomes back 4 players from the Ireland camp for the visitors ahead of the Conference A top-of-the-table clash, including Ross Burnett out half. As for the host, Jacob Stockdale will continue his return from injury to start again for Ulster, with Ian Madigan starting against his old team. And Cian Healy has signed a new contract extension with Ireland and Leinster. The 33-year-old prop, who has 3 Six Nations titles and 4 European Cups, has signed until the end of the 21-22 season. Just back to the Pro 14, there is a game tonight. Ulster taking on Connacht, and that one is at Thomond Park in Limerick. Gordon Elliott could learn his fate from the IHRB later this evening. The County Meath trainer has been given evidence to their referrals committee regarding the photo of him sitting on a dead horse. Elliott could find himself banned from this month's Cheltenham Festival. While in snooker, County Antrim's Mark Allen's through to the last 16 of the Gibraltar Open after coming through against teenager Lewin Bokai 4-3 this morning in Milton Keynes. But teenager from Cork, Aaron Hill, is out. He lost to Jamie Clark 4-2. That's your sport for today, Donal. Enjoy the rest of your Friday evening.
Thank you, Washing. Agzalish on Nocht, Olive, Ek, Colum Ferreter.
Shea, we're Mahas, Colum Ferreter, and Charlin, the Priest, Guilty, Highland Radio. Ba é uachtarán na hÉireann Michael de Uhagin a chiúil seachtain na Gaeilge le energia fiche agus a fios a haon ag imeacht iarúil ar lína an seachtain seo. Chuir an tuachtar an síos ar a tréimh se mar cheiliúrú lárna dar nairacht don phobal i gáitine idir nua cainteoirí agus cainteoirí lífa. San ír thuiscirt deantar nasc idir phobal chondaithe dún an áil tíróin agus deire go farmúil am lianna le oscion seasca amacht claraithe sa réigiún ina measc lean na bobal nua a reachtalaíú inné a bhí mar chospór aige feasachta dhéanú ar an gcéalaige a measc na néirenach nua. Mar chuid den ceiliúrú a reachtalaíú ceardlan faoin ilcheangathas agus ilcholtarathas ar lína. Mar an gcéarna le chuid maith blianta nuas, ba go leor amachtaí a reachtal ag seirbhísí lórlainne agus seirbhísí cultúrtha na cóirle chondé chomáid. Sa gaholas faoi na himeachtaí ag suíomh an cóirle chondé. Tá chuirú oscailte tugtha ag údaras na gaeltachta le dhaoine a bhfuil chaincap na smuoineamh gnó acu páirte ghlacu i gláir forbartha chaincap gnó nua atá fógraithe chun forbairt gnóthaí nua a ghríosú. Tá sé de chospór ag tús mai gláir forbartha chaincap gnó údaras na gaeltachta daoine aonair na fantríthe a bhfuil smuoineamh gnó acu a chumasú chun a ghaincap a forbairt. Maidir le presráitis ar thaobh an údaris, curtha an cláir forbartha deiseanna ar fáil de antríthe uaire agus forbairt a dhéanamh ar an ghaincap gnó príd ceire céim sonrach ina mé saineolas acadúil, saineolas gnó agus taithí gnó ar fáil don ar an fhairtithe. De bhair sríonnta COVID-19 agus ar lína a reachtal thar cláir forbartha údaras na gaeltachta mníla ag tá sé ina gné lárnach den cláir go mé déiseag ran fhairtíthe cóilireachta agus mantaireachta áil chuirthar tús leis an cláir forbartha tá siar an aisce ar an dárna láidéag den mhí seo agus leithí sé raidh a bheith tréimh sé ceithre seaartainne. Sima hod se eli galeir slán agus bannach.
Colum agus colum agus anish on, I'm sure, dry and cloudy this evening with light to moderate southeasterly breezes. A mostly dry night tonight with a mix of cloud and clear spells. A chance of some patchy light rain or drizzle drifting along western coasts for a time. Lowest overnight temperatures -3 to +1 degree Celsius. Frost forming in clear spells. Winds will be light to moderate southeasterly in direction. Tomorrow Saturday will start dry with good sunny spells, but cloud will thicken through the afternoon with light rain in western areas. Highest temperatures tomorrow of 6 to 8 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southerly winds. And that's Highland Radio News. Main stories in brief this evening. There's been a slight drop in the number of people on the live register in Donegal. Latest figures from the Central Statistics Office show there were 8,968 people on the live register in the county at the end of February. That was down 5.2% on the same period last year. That figure doesn't include the 16,050 people in the county who are in receipt of the pandemic unemployment payment. The INMO says the government has responded positively to a request from nurses and midwives for an extra 10 days holidays. The claim was submitted in November as recognition of the nurses and midwives' service on the front line during the pandemic. And public health officials say pregnant women should continue to maintain safe practices to avoid contracting COVID-19, but stress there is no need for them to change their behaviour. Our next news is at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 5th of March. The death has taken place of Nancy Tinney, Drumkeen Upper, Drumkeen. Nancy's remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there on Sunday at 10:30 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people. Funeral mass can be viewed on Ritz Film Productions Facebook page. The death has taken place of Anne Curlin, née O'Donnell, Strone Brack, Dunamana, and formerly of Fawn, County Donegal. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Anne's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via St Mary's Church Ahabrack's Facebook page on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Autism NI, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Maureen Dolan, née McHugh, Sesha Moore, Castle Finn, and formerly of Ahiarn.
Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, tomorrow at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the Ahiarn Parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Ahiarn. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice or Castledurg Patients Comfort and Terminally Ill Fund, care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director. The death has taken place in London of Philomena McCarran, née McLaughlin, formerly of Cashel, Linsford, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her mother Anna Rose's residence in Cashel, Linsford. The rosary and wake prayers for the dead will be led from the chapel tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock and streamed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. Funeral from her mother's home at 9:15 on Sunday morning, going to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegni, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill, choosing the mobile option. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of William Sleven, Garrison Hill, Killigordon. Funeral service in Monellan Parish Church at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are limited to a maximum of 10 people. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Monellan Parish Church funds, care of Mary Sleven, treasurer. The death has taken place of George Dowds, to let Burt. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Angus's Church, Burt, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, Requiem Mass and burial are strictly limited to family only, please, with 10 people permitted. George's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Burt. And the death has occurred of Liam Bridie, The Rock, Glenties. Liam's remains are reposing in St Connell's Church, Glenties. Requiem Mass at 12 noon tomorrow can be viewed at churchservices.tv/Glenties, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the house mass and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.